Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Praise God. Now, please remember where we are coming from. We are talking about the warfare of the kingdom. And to summarize this theme, we agreed that the kingdom of God will not come to the earth without a warfare. It's not going to happen. There is no way you will see the kingdom of God enter the earth and dominate the earth without warfare. Hallelujah. And we also did say that the instrumentality of this warfare are God's people. So we realize and agree that the church is that place where men and women are raised and trained to do warfare. Amen. And if you recollect, therefore, that I began to explain to us the different levels of warfare. There's a warfare at the individual level that you and I have to deal with. Those are issues. Praise God. Then there are warfare that is at the level of the family. Then we have warfare at the level of communities. Then you have levels of warfare at the level of nations, governments. And last week, I spent some time a few weeks ago, talking about the warfare at the governmental level. And I promise that this evening, I'll try and complete that. But one thing I also want to say is this. We've been hearing since the time I gave my life to Christ, since 1982, I've been hearing people say, God is raising an army. God is raising an army. And I begin to ask, or I've been asking, when will his army be raised? When are they? And I know that they don't raise an army for parade ground. Abby, do you raise army for parade ground? You don't find soldiers on parade ground. That's not their job. You raise an army because you anticipate there will be war. And so not only do you recruit soldiers, you train soldiers. Amen. But we have a situation without us realizing that the enemy had actually boxed us into a corner and made us so ineffective by sponsoring people to give us a counterfeit idea of what the warfare really is and how to go about doing the warfare. So you find people being raised to basically minister to the individual problems that each person goes through in life. Of course, we've heard about Ogundile, Abi. So we have your personal warfare and Ogundile warfare. Well, forgetting that the major warfare that we are called to fight that deals with both Ogundile and the one other one are actually at the higher level, the governmental level. I showed us last week, I told us last week how David was provoked by Satan to number Israel. And when David did it, wrath broke out upon Israel. And God dispatched his angel who went about killing people. He killed. It was not the angel of death. It was not satanic angel. It was God's angel himself that went into Israel and began to kill people. And I said that the people that angel killed knew nothing of the transaction that was taking place in the palace. Sure, you remember. It was between David and Satan. And when he yielded to Satan and God's judgment came upon him, it was not the family of David that were killed. He didn't touch them. Who did he kill? Fathers, brothers, members of communities that knew nothing about that transaction. And so you begin to understand when Paul began to say, pray for those who are in authority. It's not because they are good. It's because Satan can provoke them to do things that will trigger responses in the spiritual realm. Are you with me, church? So I let us see that. Now, there is another level of warfare I want us to see tonight. Because this warfare is multidimensional. There are low-level warfare, and there is cosmic warfare, and they are taking place pari passu. Praise the Lord. You will understand from what I will show us that this warfare ultimately has its role to play in what you and I do and the decisions we make on day-to-day basis. I will show you from scriptures. Why that your positioning, your mere mental position, your mere decision to say, I stand for this, can alter the course of a battle. To just alter it. So when we speak about spiritual warfare, it is not when one witch is pursuing you and one man of God said, God has raised me in this end time to deal with those of you that have not married. Praise God. You know why many sisters have not married? Because many brothers have not proposed. Praise God. You know why many brothers have not proposed? Because many brothers don't have jobs. You know why many brothers, have you brother, okay, we're online, okay. So let me expose you internationally. Then they come and ask who is brother? Who's brother Paul? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. There's no idea, brother Paul. You know why? Okay, since I've mentioned brother Paul, you know why brother Paul has not married? Because brother Paul has not gotten that job that can command the anointing to stand before the sister and say, "Will thou marry me?" Where's the place of faith? It's good. Because there is a warfare that is being waged in the spirit realm that is unaware of. So for me to make money, I will organize a program and say, all of you that have not found sisters, come and collect the anointing. Whereas the real warfare is not at that level. The real warfare is being fought at the cosmic level. So there are the low-level warfare, which you find being fought by ordinary demon spirits. They are demon spirits that, but those demon spirits are answerable to the cosmic spirits. Praise God. So if you deal with, there are two ways to deal with this matter, and I'll show us from scriptures. The grounds on which those low-level spirits operate on is basically the entrances we give to them. If you open the door, they will come in. Once that door is closed, there'll be no entrance for them. Praise God. But that does not mean that they've left that area. They are still in that area, and they're still going to be afflicting people. And as long as they are there, the kingdom of God cannot come there. Are you with me? It is God's will that everybody in this region should be saved. But because of the way we are going about it, we can only save one person. We have not, yes, he's born again, he's going to heaven, but what about the multitude that are still bound by those cosmic spirits? Praise God. So I want us to look at scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to lay the foundation. Do you have the ISV translation? You have the ISV. Don't have it. Okay, let's look at the KJV. Verse 1. It says, and you are he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead in trespasses. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. There's a curse of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, he now explained who that prince is. He says, the spirit. Everybody say the spirit. There is a spirit. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Now, I want to read this NIS translation. It says, you used to be dead because of your offenses and sins. That you once practiced, that means your offenses and sins were the things you once practiced as you lived according to the ways of this present world and according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now active in those who are disobedient. Praise God. I want to read another translation. I don't know the name. It's MLV. It says, even you being dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the age of this world. That means the current things of this world. You walk there. According to the ruler of the authority of the air. He is the ruler of the authority. Are you with me? There is an authority that the spirit in the air has, but is the one that rules with authority over those princes. Hallelujah. And he controls the ages and what defines the ages. And it says, the current things of this world, which is now working in the sons of disobedience. One translation says, the prince that encourages them in disobedience. So when you see a believer walking in disobedience, who is he submitting to? He's submitting to the prince of the power of the air. When you wonder, why are you behaving like this? This is not right. I said, leave me alone. What do you mean? I'm myself. A prince is controlling that person. He has, without realizing it, yielded his heart to that prince and makes him walk in disobedience. Praise the Lord. And these are the realities that you and I as believers, you and I as spiritual warriors must understand what we are dealing with part time. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to do my best to let us look at scriptures. Is that okay? Let us look at scriptures, stories you are familiar with, and let us see what triggered cosmic warfare. There are things that trigger cosmic warfare, and there's a way they fight cosmic warfare. Praise God. I want to look at some few examples, and then we'll roll on. Exodus chapter 17. Can we go to Exodus 17? Verses 8 to 16. I will have to read. Let me go to KJV here. Okay. Then came who? Amalek. And fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and all went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he laid down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and all stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua disconfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord shall have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Amen. This is the first time and the only time in the history of God that a nation withstood God. What I said they did? They withstood God. The battle could not be concluded that day. And God said, tell Joshua, this is my determination. I will wage war with Amalek from generation to generation until I wipe out their memorial from under the sun. Praise God. Even in the days of Joshua, Amalek was not wiped out. So you begin to realize that Amalek was just not a people. They were fighting cosmic battles. They withstood God. And they fought that battle was fought. It was a draw that day. Praise God. There was no victor or vanquished. But God said that we wage war with these guys. The way I will fight them, it will not be ordinary fight. Hallelujah. Because when you go to war, you go to war with your gods. That's how the fight was. Everybody goes to war with his gods. Everybody does. When I read the story of David and Goliath, all you hear is that the stone entered the skull. Is that not what we hear? But have you ever thrown stone at anybody at all that has entered the skull? If you know what God created and called skull, stone can't enter it like that. The best the stone can do is break it. It will fall to the ground. But for that stone to enter his skull and sink into his brain, it's not ordinary stone. Somebody collected the stone from David's hands and piloted it into his skull and pushed it inside. Praise God. Because immediately David brought God into the battle, it was a done deal. I remember what David said in that battle. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that has defied the armies of God? There were two armies in that battle that day. There was the seen army and there was the unseen army. All the unseen army needed was somebody to stand and release them. You now begin to understand why the word of faith is powerful. Angels are waiting for a word to be spoken. I read the book Angels on Assignment, and the angels said that there are angels that camped with Israel. There were two camps. If you read the story of Jacob, they said there were two camps. There was the camp of men, there were the camp of angels. Are you with me? So when Moses, when the cloud of glory lifts, it's a signal to Israel that there was a time for migration. Do you understand me? But before that cloud will move, the Bible says, they said Moses will come to the front of Israel. He will stand there. Behind him are myriads of angels. But they will not do anything until Moses gave the word. And what was the signal for them to move out? He said, Lord, arise and let your enemies scatter. Once Moses uttered that, all the angels will move out of the camp. They said, any demon, because in the desert there are demons. Don't make it. And they are represented by serpents. Praise God. When you cast out devils in the days of deliverances, where do you think we cast them out to? The dry places of the earth. The wildernesses, the deserts, where no one dwells. So you have spirits in those areas a lot. So, but when it says, arise, O God. He said, those angels, stand here, told them, we will go and clear anything on the path of Israel. They will clear everything. So there are cosmic realities that you and I must realize exist. And when Joshua fought with Amalek, the Bible says when Moses raised his hands up, Israel prevailed. Why was it so? Because once his hands were up, he was opening a portal to bring in angelic reinforcements. When his hands went down, the portals were shut to the heavens. And the spirits that were here were prevailing against Israel. Hallelujah. So you and I must understand, when we are talking and we are praying and we are challenging things, we must have this at the back of our mind of how these things happen in the real realm. Praise God. Let us look at the five kings. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua. The story of Joshua. Chapter 10. This is a long story. Now, let us look at the story. Then I won't read everything. It's chapter 10 verses 1 to 27, the whole chapter, but I won't get there. Let me pick verse 5. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand, and there shall not be a man of them stand before thee. And Joshua therefore came up unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. I like this man. Praise God. When I read this story, I have to salute. How can an army march all night? They march all night. In the morning, look at the next verse. In the morning, they attacked those five armies and fought throughout the whole day. I think night is about 12 hours. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Abi, they marched 12 hours. And in the morning, they entered and engaged the enemy. Look, spiritual warfare requires physical stamina. Hello? What did I say it requires? Physical stamina. So if you are the type that wants to say, well, I heard the story of a woman who prayed for a man who was sick. It was Andrew Clark or so. Said they went for a program in America. This is the South American country. And there was a person who was born blind, and this woman prayed for that man for 5 hours. Crusade had ended. The woman stayed with that man and prayed for 5 good hours. The man was not healed. I think they started around 12. He must have prayed for that man till 5 a.m. before she went away. They packed their bags, entered plane, and came back to America. Only for the pastor of the church to call Randy Clark about a week or two after. I said, we have never seen this miracle before. So the man just woke up and had brand new eyes. He said he does not know the woman that prayed for that man. But it was a woman that joined their ministerial team to go for that program. But I was asking, can you pray for 5 hours and not get results? Do you have that kind of spiritual stamina? Are you with me here? God will help us in Jesus' name. And verse 10, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah, and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and when they going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord did what? Cast down great stones from heaven. Where did God get stones? Chef, are you following me? Where got God stones? Amen. And they died. And there were more that died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in that day, when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of all Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed unto the people that avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So that the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. May the Lord fight for us in Jesus' name. But please pay attention. God will not fight until a man stands to provoke him to come and fight. I hope you are following me. Somebody must have the faith to bring him to battle. It's the same with the occult. Somebody must be bold to summon Lucifer to come and fight. And so it is true for this spirit. Amen. This was a fight that they were not dealing with low-level demons. They were operating from the heavenlies. Praise God. Now, let us look at this story of Daniel. This is the popular, I like this story. Daniel 10, verse 1. We know the story, don't we? Verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true. But the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Praise God. Now, verse 1 was a summary of everything. Are you with me? Now, let's take from verse 2. Now, this is now the breakdown. In those days, I, Daniel, what was I doing? Was mourning 3 full weeks. Verse 3. I ate no pleasant bread. He was not eating. What was the most pleasant bread in town? Crunchies, yes. What was the worst? Bredo. What was the worst bread in town? Oyato. No, Oyato is still good. They still give me Oyato. Omoroki. He ate no pleasant bread. But maybe he was eating unpleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all. No pulse. Perfume is called perf. No Vaseline, no nothing. It was just bathing with ordinary water. I don't know. Till 3 whole weeks were what? Fulfilled. Verse 4. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Edekiah, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were gathered with fine gold of Ophir. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in the color to polished brass. This guy looked like Jesus that appeared in Revelation, okay? But this is not Jesus, so it's like just like him. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude.
Wow.
Next verse. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quickening fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Verse 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no more strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. 9. Yet had I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he has spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. Verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou set thy heart to do what? Did Daniel pray? Was Daniel praying here? Was Daniel engaging in spiritual warfare? Eh? No. I'm speaking with respect to our definition of spiritual warfare. I mean, bro, when we were doing warfare in those days, is this how to do warfare? This man wasn't doing warfare by our definition and practice. The Bible says the day he set his heart to understand and to chastise in thyself before God. He said thy words were what? Hard. So what triggered this cosmic warfare was a desire to understand. He just wanted to know the plan of God. He just wanted to understand what is going on. Because if you read the story, you find out that he was complaining that, look, God, you said to Jeremiah, because this man was young, was a young man when Jeremiah began to prophesy in Jerusalem. And he spoke about the 70 years captivity, that after 70 years, God will visit his children, his people in Babylon and bring them out. 70 years was already up. And there was no, like nothing was happening. And so he set his heart just to understand what was going on. Praise God. Understanding. Understanding was the source of all this problem. He wanted to know. Praise God. And your words were heard. And I've come for those words you spoke to God about. Next verse. Hallelujah. My people have not changed, even with all this holiday. Praise God. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. He spoke about the prince of the kingdom, and he said, kings of Persia. Praise God. What am I trying to explain? You now should understand where Paul was writing to the people of Ephesus. That the eyes of your understanding may be what? Enlightened. You should understand what triggered the cosmic battle in Ephesus. What broke the power of Diana was sight. Once people began to receive sight and understanding, the power of Diana in the heavens began to give way. Am I making sense here? Do you understand me? So you now begin to understand why it is important for you not only to understand the meaning of the instructions given, but the positions you and I decide to take is a warfare on his own. The man refused to eat. The man refused to obey the princes and their ways and the cause of their something, and set himself to know and understand what was going on, and that just triggered a cosmic warfare. You will learn from this that one of the most dangerous thing to Satan is people understanding what their rights, understanding who they are. Once they know who they are, his power over them breaks. His influence over them breaks. And nothing is as dangerous as a loose Christian walking unchecked. A Christian that is powerful, who knows his right and left, and you let him walk around, is the most dangerous person to allow. I don't know whether you understand me. So whatever it will take, even going to war, they will do it. Because of Daniel, kingdoms were changed. He was not praying. In the sense, Lord, I stand here, I bind the prince of Persia. He was not doing any of those. He was just saying, Lord, I want understanding. What's going on? And for 21 days, he was just saying, Lord, I need to understand. What exactly is going on? 70 years has passed. Lord intervened. And God said, I came here. And immediately, the angel showed up. The prince of Persia, marshal the kings of Persia to withstand him from passing. Praise God. And if you read the rest of the story, he said God had to send Michael. Now when Michael came, Michael didn't come alone. Michael came with his own host. Because they all walk with hosts. Praise God. Oh, you forgot what the God said, I'm the Lord of the host. That means there are hosts. Not one, not two. There are many that back him up, that behind him, just to obey his commandments. Hallelujah. Am I communicating here? But they needed one man to ask for understanding. So every time he said, Lord, give me understanding, you are triggering cosmic warfare. Because it doesn't pay Satan for you to understand what is going on, or to understand what God has put in you. Praise God. So, Even if I now tell you that you are the Son of God, he finds a way to distort that understanding. Because a proper understanding is a problem. Amen. I don't know whether you understand me. Once you properly grasp the truth, your eyes will just open them and say, yay, I've been cheated all this while. Did I tell you the testimony of how I was delivered from a problem before? I had a problem way back in school there. I thought I needed deliverance, that I needed deliverance ministry to come and help me out of the problem. But I remember that I said, okay, Lord, I will submit to deliverance. I called my brother. Now, I was one doing deliverance. I'm among those who used to do deliverance in school. Praise God. Now, I mean, I now needed deliverance. But that day, I just came to church. And the man of God said, open to the book of Romans chapter 6. And he began to read Romans chapter 6. And when he got to that place, and sin shall not have dominion over you. It was as if a sword went into my heart and broke the chains of that sin and of that influence. And that's how I was free. Just hearing the word delivered me. The thing just opened my eyes. He said, and you sin shall not have. My eyes just opened, and that thing just broke. Praise God. Understanding is something that Satan fights against. So you know why and how these things are done. Amen. Because Daniel wanted it. And so the Bible told us that when he said that the prince of the power of the Persian spirit, that prince of Persia, and the kings under him fought against Michael and his own host. Because of Israel, they pronounced judgment. And God removed the candlestick of Persia. And said, Persia is judged. And they are going to dislodge that spirit and allow the prince of Greece to come in. So begin to understand how civilizations rise and fall. It is God that decides that in the course of heaven. Are you with me? It is who decides what? But something must trigger it. It has been planned out, but something must trigger it. The prince of Persia said, no, I will not. And this is what I want to tell you, please. Listen to me. No nation becomes an empire because of technology. Or they went to school. That is not what makes a nation an empire. I watched a film many years ago. The Iraqi ambassador. It was a film that had to do with Iraq and Britain. And the British foreign minister was abusing the Iraqis. That you uneducated, was speaking down on him. And the guy said, shut up there. Said 3,000 years ago, your people were living in caves when we were ruling the world. Babylon ruled the world. They were the first world power, the original world power. Because God gave all the nations of the world, including the animals and the birds and the trees, he gave it to Nebuchadnezzar to rule over them. Praise God. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say here. The British were in caves. They were barbarians. They didn't know Jack from left. Science was domiciled in Babylon. Everything called science, everything called arts, everything called development, everything called civilization was kept where? In Babylon. They did not have enough to come to Babylon to come and say, we want to come and try. They will make them slaves because they cannot reason. So how come now today the Igbos are doing racial things? Okay, it is their time. Hello? It's their time. There's nothing you can do about it. They feel they are superior to us. But let me tell you, it's because of the controlling spirits that rule them. That's why they are like that. If you read the story of Persia and Greece, you will realize that after Persia had conquered the whole world, it was only Greece they could not subdue. And Greece was called nation states. Like Akure is a nation of his own. Their army, everything. They did not relate with Egypt. They did not relate with Ilara. So everybody had their own states like that. And they were always fighting one another. In spite of their division, Persia with his armies could not subdue them. It was not ordinary. The father of Isis was one of the kings in that 300. He told him, he said, leave the Greeks alone. He said, no man can conquer them except God. They didn't have weapons. They were not the type of people you can look at. It's like I tell you, it's like you looking at Togo. I said, one day Togo will rule the world. You say, you must be sick. Togo. No, if people say Igbo or Fulani or Yoruba, it is Togo. But it is not of him that runneth. There are cosmic spirits involved. And those spirits operate in the level of wisdom. They don't fight. Come on, I'm sorry. What did you eat yesterday? Rice. Igbagbe lo she. You know that Igbagbe. Those are low level demons fighting. The main boys are upstairs. So what those prince do, that they pick one man and they deck him with wisdom. And the man comes and says, this is how we are going to take this thing. Oh yeah, this is how you are going to do this. And everything begins to fall in place. Then before you know it, they are rising up. What is going on in the world right now is a battle between this prince ruling America and the dragon in China. That's the warfare going on now. China wants to rise to become a world power. Because that was what happened. The patience didn't want Greece to rise as a world power. Those princes began to fight. But because it was time for the prince of Persia to go, the angels of God helped the prince of Greece. They dislodged him. And said, yeah, come and take over. So that's why I'm not intimidated by any Igbo man. Said I'm better than you. I said it's not your fault. The matter was decided in the heavens. That's why I can't compete with them on that level. The only level we can compete is this. What do you know about this? Equalize them. Amen. If I have the opportunity of having the microphone, I'm talking to an Igbo. I said, don't please forget we are both Gentiles. We didn't know God and we had no hope. And you still don't have hope till now. It's just your time. It's called the time of the Gentiles. When their time is up, God will take the power from them. And what they take from them, and they're beyond them. He was like, did you not go to school? I went to school. And you're thinking like this. I said, I don't know why I'm thinking like that. Because the prince that gave them the wisdom has been dislodged. Do you follow what I'm saying? What we are seeing is a dress rehearsal. It is not yet time. China will one day become a world power. The dragon will become a world power. But it is not his time. Are you with me? It's not his time. That's why it will not succeed. The wisdom they need to build the things they need to win the war is not yet time. How did England become a world power? At the time England was a small power, they were you did history now. Did they teach you European history? They didn't have anything. They had a very small army. When the people that ruled the world was Spain. Spain controlled the world. They had war. Have you ever heard about the Spanish Armada? Terrible navy. Ruled the seas. Because the king of England, King James, wanted to marry another wife and refused to obey the instructions of the church. He was excommunicated, and he now decided that he would deal with Rome and decided that he would print the Bible. That's why it's called King James Bible. Koshekwe, one of fashion, the Bible. He was one who first printed Bible. Complete Bible. To spite Rome. And once these people know the truth, all the lies of Rome will crumble. And Rome told Spain to go and invade England. It's like asking America to come and invade Lagos. Please tell me, what is our hope? With our Elijah boots, and all those small, small boats. But when the battle ensued, they were outnumbered, outgunned. The naval officers on the part of Spain were experienced, they were knowledgeable, they were generous in their own standing. But Britain just went to war. Okuramajokurini. Praise God. But you know, one small mistake was all that mattered. For God knows what happened. The Armada of Spain congregated their armory in one area. And one lucky shot blew the ship that had the main armory. And all the armaments blew. And as it was blowing, everybody was catching fire. And they were transferring it. That's how the Armada was wiped out. And from that battle, Britain became a world power. That is how the decisions of nations are decided. What we see in the natural was a battle. What happened in the spiritual was that one prince was removed. Another prince took over. So that prince began to deck the British with wisdom. That a country of less than 100 million or 50 million conquered the whole world. How could they do it? It's not, they didn't go to school. It was a prince that was downloading wisdom. I don't know whether I'm making sense here. So these are the things, these are the entities we are engaged against. That they have set the system of the world to engage us. Now, what you are now seeing, America is fighting China. China is fighting the whole world. That is one level of warfare. The real one that concerns you and I is the one they want to fight us. Which they have not stopped. Praise God. Are they not the one that said we should not meet again in church? Where did the whole thing come from? Was it not? It's not China and America that connived and said we should not meet again. Hey, Mokoton Shele. They are fighting us. They may appear as if they are fighting, no, but it is us that they are really gunning after. Praise the Lord. I'm not going into eschatology tonight. Let me finish. I want to finish. Praise God. I've mentioned Paul, have I not? You remember the story of Paul? Paul preached in Ephesus about the separated certain people. And for 2.5 years, in the school of Tyrannus, what was Paul doing there? What was he doing? He was teaching. Thank God for power ministries. Thank God for all other ministries. But if we are going to do this thing properly, there must be a good teaching ministry. After 2.5 years, the faith of people began to believe. Their faith level rose to the point the Bible says God began to do extraordinary things through the ministry of Paul. Handkerchiefs. They would just say, man of God, my uncle is in, where is that place in Asia? Macedonia. Eh? Or in Pergamos. And it's too far. But I'm traveling tomorrow. Oh yeah, Paul was there. Pray. And they will take it. They say you are nowhere. And they will put it. And the person will be healed. My cousin has 1-2 demons are afflicting him. Paul will say, come. Touch his hand. Just carry that hand. And all kinds of wonderful things began to happen through Paul's ministry. And about those 2.5 years, the whole of Asia Minor heard about the gospel. It started with how many people? 16. What were they doing? They're simply preaching. And people's hearts were being touched. The Bible told us about what now happened. After certain exorcists now attempted to do what the believers and Paul were doing. And went to look for one demon-possessed person. And wanted to cast out that demon. You know the story. How the demon disconfigured them. And the Bible says, the fear came upon all. They brought their magical books. Now please, don't forget, some of them were coming to church. They were brethren. They had to bring their magical books. They valued it and they burnt it. And the Bible says, so great grew the word. And the word prevailed. Now, not everybody in Asia became a Christian. But from that point, everybody in Asia feared the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody in Asia feared the Lord. So much so, when you want to behave, misbehave, remember the God of Paul. You just arrange. Praise God. It prevailed, and that became the standard for living. They were not born again. So when we talk about His will being done, that is a template. Do you understand me? Not that everybody will get born again, but everybody will submit to His will. What's going on? Everybody will submit to His will. Praise God. And the word of God will move unhindered. To be easy to come to someone and say, you know, you need to give your life to Jesus. God said, I know already. They have spoken to me yesterday. But yeah, give your life. He will give his life. Praise God. There was no resistance. As if they've cleared the heavens. How was it cleared? The blacksmith said, Diana is no more worshipped. Diana was a controlling principality over the whole of Asia. It was called Artemis. Is it Artemis? What is it? Was a prince that governed the whole of Asia. Held them in bondage. It controlled their education. It controlled their commerce. It controlled their social life. What else did it control? It controlled the religion. I think four things it controlled. Everything that was about their life, that prince controlled it. It was one who was... And by mere preaching, and by mere, you know, demonstrating God's power, the heart of men shifted from that worship and shifted to God. And that prince fell. Amen. And so the blacksmiths came together. All of them said, we have lost our livelihood. Nobody is coming to the temple of Diana anymore. And they stirred up a riot. And then the Bible says there was serious riot. That inside of the amphitheater, the whole town gathered, Ephesus gathered, and they were shouting for 2 hours. Great is who? Eh? Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Of the Ephesians of the Ephesus. Please, can you imagine 2 hours? When we're watching ball, he said, go! After 1 minute, we settle down again. Praise God. But people sat in the theater for 2 hours. Great is Diana. Great is Diana. 2 hours. Great is Diana. Is it ordinary eye? Ordinary eye. It's not ordinary eye. Something was driving that operation. Am I communicating? These are things we are up against. And you don't know. And when they were asked, why are you even crying? I said, we don't even know. We just... mob action. Mob. When you see mob, there's a prince, there's a spirit driving it. Someone said, when you see armed robbery in an area, there's a spirit driving that operation. So once you arrest that spirit, the operation will die. Amen. You've heard about rape. They say they should start. Suppose they should shoot people, they should hang people, they should castrate people. That will stop rape because it's a spirit. Until we bind the spirit that's operating. Unfortunately, it's a global spirit. So we can only do with one in our area. Because that's where our authority lies. So that's the extent of our work. Until we find an apostle that have authority over the whole Nigeria that can stand as I speak. There are levels of authority. For Paul, that spirit said, Jesus we know. Paul we know. What was it say? He said, we know about Jesus. We also are aware, that's one other translation says, that Paul has been given authority over this region. Remember, Paul said that I would not speak or exercise my authority beyond the measure of my boundary. He recognized apostles have boundaries. You can't cross your boundary. It's only in this Nigeria that we have apostles in one village. Apostle of Ritabele. Ritabele going to be. Praise God. It's only apostle in his church. No, apostles have regions they will operate. When they speak, spirits obey. That's how you know apostles. It's not apostle because I have... No, I can become an apostle today because two people have come. Praise God. In spite of government, only the apostle to relay. Praise God. Are you with me? But that's not what they call apostles. It's not just influence that I can influence men. No, it's not about influence. It's authority. Do you have authority that you speak and angels obey and demons run? That is apostle. It's not mouth. It's authority. Then we know Paul has been given authority. In this region, he says it's authority. I told you about this. I'm aware of time. I want to end. St. Patrick's said God told you to go to Ireland. Immediately, he got to Ireland. And he got up from the boat and stepped the ground of Ireland and bowed down to worship God. All the snakes in Ireland disappeared. He began to run. That was the physical manifestation. But the spiritual mentioned that those are types of spirit beings. And that day, he built a fire. And there was a legend that the man that built the fire there would destroy the power of the king. And that night, the king saw the fire and said, "Who went to do fire here?" They said, "They don't know." He sent his army to go and meet him. And when those guys came with their sword, I said, power, not the apostles, it's not mouth. Praise God. Must see power. Either against demons or against sickness, we must see power. It's not mouth. Praise God. Was Apollos an apostle? Can we call him an apostle? He must be, because I poured watered. I planted an Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So he must be an apostle. But maybe he had his own manifestation. Praise God. We don't know about that. But if you see all the apostles that were apostles, they were all men of power. Glory to God. Let me bring this to a close, because I will give us 15 minutes to pray, to discuss and pray. Warfare requires active participation of human beings. Without active participation, without a cooperation, without an alignment, it will be impossible for either of these two armies to gain a foothold in any battle. Do you understand me? We know that two-thirds of the angels do not go with Satan. So numerically speaking, those who are for us is more than those who are for them. But we also know that remove the angels, he who is the Lord of the hosts is enough to take care of all of them. So we have superior power. See, power now, superior. We have advantages that... But more importantly, if you and I get understanding, it's very important. Do you remember? Let me close with this story. Elisha and his servant. Sheyeronti. The young man woke up and said, "Alas, master, we are undone. We are surrounded." And his master looked at him and said, "Lord, open his eyes." When his eyes opened, was he fearful anymore? The guy just began to act as if nothing was happening. Guys, I'm sorry for all of you. You made a mistake on me. It's understanding. Do you follow me? A proper understanding will align you with the reality of that world. When you have understanding, it's easy to bring in the angelic into battle and work with them. Am I communicating? But when you have no understanding, you act as an hindrance. In electricity is called impedance. You impede them. They want to come into battle, but the person who is to open the door is closing it. And so their hands are tied. They will just be looking at us. The devil messes us up. Because nobody stood. What did Deborah say? Said that people were walking in byways, Abby. Until I, Deborah, rose. Until Deborah rose, those angels could come into battle. They've been wanting to come, but nobody could rise. Until Deborah rose. I trust God you will rise. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions before we pray? Any contribution? Maybe by experience. Maybe by revelation. Maybe by insight. It could be secondary illumination. Any question? Okay, tell me. If you have no question, may I ask a question? I will ask a question. How do you bring angels into battle when you have a battle to fight? Tell me how you would do it. Suddenly you are hearing that there's all kinds of commotion in that your area. Akpatakpiti. What will you do?
I think one of those things, according to what...
Robolulu Mushiwaye, I can't hear you.
I said, I think one of those things, according to what you just taught us this evening, is understanding, designed to understand a matter, just like the case of Daniel. We'll be able to summon...
I did not ask, how will you? We are inside there, we are in Akpatakpiti. Gbogbo Akpatakpiti daru. What do you do?
I will pray.
What prayer will you pray? What kind of prayer will you pray? You say you pray. What would you pray?
I will just take my stand against the spirit that is causing such chaos.
And how will you do it? I told you that. Under your own. If he says, Lord, deliver them. That's how you want to do it? Call a friend. Sunday is not your friend. Sunday is not your friend. Sunday, have you gone to his house before? Yeah. He's not your friend.
Okay.
Who has gone to your house that is your friend?
Bro, Paul.
Paul, true of us. Have you been to his house? Okay, yeah, his friend. Yeah. Oh, yeah, come and give Paul the microphone. Oh, yeah.
Well, like you said, you talked about understanding the fact that that environment or whatever is happening there is controlled by spirit. So, and then that there is also like we have angels that fight for us, and then we also have right to partner with angels. You talked about alignment. And then we can also pray and trust God for
What prayer will you pray?
I'm
giving you examples. Which of them prayed in the day of battle? You're answering my question from the perspective of prevailing paradigm. When you come against demons, you don't pray. You cast them out. That's not the time to pray. Look at Jesus. Did you see Jesus come before a demon and say, Father, don't disappoint me now. You must anoint me with fresh oil. Is that how Jesus handled it? Did you see Paul pray? When he was going to cast out devils. So what is your template? Where did you get prayer from? You are shaking head.
We are going to decree. And
what decree will you decree?
We challenge the spirit.
How will you challenge them?
We cast them out.
How will you cast them out?
By the word of God.
Which word of God? Word of God is from Genesis 1 now to Revelation now. Which one will you pick? All right. That is the exam. Go and do your assignment. Tomorrow, next week, you submit. Can we rise on our feet and let's pray.
Lebros que predebos de brada sofritoste. Remalembrodos e clemandria dos sobrila.
Just as I pray in the Holy Spirit, and just thank the Lord for tonight. I know that the Lord will grant us understanding. We need the understanding of the unseen world. We need to understand the dynamics of how these things work. We need to understand how God fights, and we want us to fight. He has given us the victory. He said to Joshua, I have handed this Amalek over to you. I've handed these five kings. Say, go and disconfigure them. Go and wipe them out. I have given it. Lord, we want understanding. We want you to help us. Lembrose libra de boshonta nembra daste. Ramole brotoste libra nanosh. Rimale bruno mozumbre le mosto pacadejananda yasoto. Elinondras. Rabolo brudos libra nege shataya brunos. Rimalina mosso precaloste. Rimalembre nosto procos lembra de ma. Elembrodos libra de lebradosta. Rebolo brodo bosumbre le cantronos de le manande. Imprele brodo zalebra dosa cabradesta. Rimalebra dosa libra. Nejedingra doste. Andre lebra boso bonende. Junimbro dosa glevombre hascapalos. Elimoso pri libro doste. Isre de brodo zalebra babade. Rimalebre nemozumbre nelema. Rimalemozumbro nabaste. Oh Lord, Ivanama Shatala Radosta la Bradigalasta, Rimala Brudusili Credobosta la Bragedist, Rimalo Brigadosa la Bradile Mosto. Holy Spirit of God, help us. Holy Spirit of God, come upon us. In those days, upon kings, rested upon them and became and made them kings and enabled them to wage war. They were kings, they were men of authority. They needed spirits to rest on them. That is why they were kings. When the Holy Ghost rests upon you, you will be a king and a priest. Holy Spirit, I'm praying that in a new dimension, you will bring understanding unto us. You will open our eyes. We will know. We will begin to know and walk in understanding. You will take away fear and replace it with courage. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we'll no longer be bound. We'll no longer be confused. We'll no longer be intimidated by the enemy in any way in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking to help us. Lord, I'm asking to open our eyes. Lord, I'm asking to show us the things that have made for our peace. I pray, Lord, that you open our eyes of understanding. That our eyes be enlightened, we may know what you have done for us. We may know what you have given to us. We may know how you want us to wage this war. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, Kapalo Prenegashte. You have been called. You have said you will stand with us. You will teach us what we need to know. You will teach us. You will fellowship with us. I pray that that fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that illumination of the Holy Spirit, you will give to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, give us a fresh understanding. Give us eyes to open that we may see what we need to know in the name of Jesus. Teach us, teach our fingers to war. Teach us how to fight in the name of Jesus. Lemon prehalo pregadaba dujene praos. We thank you, my Father. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And once again, our Father, I thank you for your church. I thank you because this is the church that you died for. This is the church that you were, that after you rose, you blessed us with men. You blessed us with great gifts of the Spirit. I am praying that this will not go to waste in the name of Jesus.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGC Church, or visit our website www.pgcchurch.org. Thank you.